quit. And then, yeah, my best friend and I started working there on the same day. I lasted like a week. She lasted like 2 weeks. And then this guy on my first shift, he's like, no one ever lasts more than a month here. I'm like, why are you bragging about that? Trying to make a living, working hard to get
to heaven where I come from. Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome along to the Community Notice Board.
Count us in.
Yep. Hello, welcome to another episode of Community Notice Board, a podcast about suburbs we grew up in, local landmarks, hometown heroes, and coming-of-age tales. We got a very special guest today, a very funny comedian. Nick White is in the studio. How are you, Nick? Yeah.
Good. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks, and we are
traveling. That wasn't a tired hello, by the way. That was full of verve and energy.
Yeah, well, you're going to start with energy, babe. Yeah.
Jeremy's just telling us he's on about 45 minutes of sleep. He's like, I'm going to die. As soon as we hit that red button, baby, he's fucking in.
I've got four pairs of glasses with my eyes on that I can just be like, Drew, what great research.
Well, we're going back
we're
to the
going
Redlands,
back to the Redlands,
right?
Where the weather is beautiful and the politicians are all drunk drivers.
Someone sent this in. I just remembered when Jamie did that. Hello. Someone sent this to our Instagram. Do you know Frank Walker from National Tiles? He's like a 90s ad dude, right?
Yeah.
And someone was like, every time Jamie says hello, it reminds me of Frank Walker doing his own ads. I got the YouTube ad.
Damn, we've been surprised.
Here we go. This is Frank Walker.
This week, National Tiles have a beautiful range of polished porcelain floor tiles.
I didn't say any of that stuff.
Hello. About tiles, hey. Frank Walker there from National Tiles.
Hello.
Hello.
We could edit that into every episode.
We could.
Yeah.
But then where would I be? You just kick me off.
One of my first jokes I wrote, it's a very Brisbane-specific joke, because there's a school. Oh, wait, I won't give away the punchline. But it's like, what school did Frank Walker from National Tiles send his daughters to? And the answer is All Hallows. Because that's a school in Brisbane.
Wow, there we go.
Yeah, sorry, I'm glad you brought that up.
really looks like we met before. And
yeah,
came up with
I was kind of like, hey, can you please bring up Frank?
how do we fucking shoehorn that in?
I'm like, I really need this.
Nick wrote into the page before.
Yeah, that was me.
I've been doing this for 140 episodes just in preparation.
Hello.
I made a fake account.
That's great. Great.
Yes, but we are heading back to the Redlands.
Yes, to Birkdale.
Birkdale.
And so...
I guess give us a little rundown. In terms of Redlands, is it... Because it seems like a quiet little sort of suburban nook.
Yeah, kind of. It's between like Thornside and Wellington Point. It's like, it's like the lesser known side of the Redlands, I'd say.
Okay.
And Birkdale's kind of like... A lot of people just know it from passing through it. And it has like some really lovely areas and some like not so lovely areas, but...
It sounds like that's Brisbane.
Totally. What else about Birkdale? Yeah, it's like by the water. Well, part of it's by the water.
Beautiful.
Wally Lewis lives there.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
I don't know if you guys saw that in your research.
We did.
I don't know.
I think it's like the first thing that comes up.
Wally Lewis is like the most Queensland's like god, basically. He was a rugby league player.
Okay.
When I lived in Caboolture, I lived on Lewis Street, which was named after Wally Lewis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Lincoln Lewis.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring
Jamie up. Knows who that is. He's in Neighbours. Jamie knows
tomorrow
all
Tomorrow when the war
was
began.
Oh, was he in Neighbours? Home and Away.
But he,
Tomorrow when the war began, I know.
Yeah, he was in that. English his character's name was Blonde-Haired Man.
An English assignment in year 8, I wrote a story. It was essentially fan fiction of Tomorrow when the war began. You better believe I got 90% on that bad boy.
Do you remember the story?
Yeah, well, I remember the set piece that launched me into the stardom, which was that like there was someone hiding behind like I guess what you call like sandbags while an enemy was like walking past with a gun, and the person grabbed the butt of the gun and flipped them over it, and I was like, damn, that is good writing.
That's pretty cool.
I feel like that was a pretty intense book for like grade 8ers to read.
Yeah.
About like an invasion and like everyone dying. It's like, oh, awesome.
And it's also like pretty not so subtly being like, the Chinese are going to invade.
Yeah, right.
The guy wrote
I've never read it. Is it like pretty propagandary?
Yeah.
Because it's sort of glorifying the military and stuff, right?
Well, no. It's just like fear of
right
some Asian country invading. Mm. And then the kids, I guess, they're on, it's like they're on a camping trip, and then there's like an invasion they have to fight off.
It is quite, that is quite a weird thing.
Yeah, and everyone had to read it in grade 8 for some reason.
Yeah, I know. And that, like, you know, let's stick to Round the Twist, Goosebumps, Silliness. Okay, the dummy
Paul
that
Jennings.
Ate.
Paul Jennings. Yeah. I remember writing a story in year seven, like this is in Caboolture, where year seven is weirdly the last year of primary school instead of year six.
Mm.
And the teacher, like, I got a high mark, not to brag. And the teacher was like, ooh, a budding Paul Jennings, perhaps? And all I remember about it was
your head would have been fucking not been through the door.
Yeah, I did. I was floating around the classroom. But I remember the first line of the story was, because the movie You've Got Mail had just come out. And so the opening of the story was, You've Got Mail. Popped up on the computer.
Just like, start your stories for whatever movies.
Airbud.
It's so funny going back and like finding novels that I started when I was like 14. Like I started to write a book, and it was just based on whatever book I had just read. I was like, I'm so stupid.
Me and my mate tried to write a book about a video game that we played, you know, like, and it's just because it was like a cool video. I can't even remember what it was called, but it was like some sort of stupid, like, RPG thing, and you just write what you did in the game, and I'm like, I'm just documenting. Yeah, there's not a story.
It's just a recount.
Then the guy shot this guy. Then the guy. You know,
so I remember going on holiday, being like, I'm going to write the next great Australian novel, and it was just Time Crisis. He ducked. He shot. He ducked. He shot again. What do you do next? You better believe he ducked.
To be continued.
The amount of files I've got saved from when I was 14, like on an old laptop with like novel ideas. It's just like the worst.
I wish, like, it's like you wish and you don't wish, because like if you found my, like, if you could go on a landfill and find like a Packard Bell computer from 2004, there would be 5 spec friend scripts that I've written and put online. So they are out there. Oh. You can find them.
And I remember under Jamie Kirk or under a pen name? Or?
I think it might have been under my own name, because I was like, you know, you're growing up in the hills and it's like, what do you want to be? And it's like, I want to be a sitcom writer. The easiest thing to do for a kid from the hills. And I remember my parents being like, what about lawyer? And I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I've like listened to DVD commentaries. I reckon I could give this a crack.
Yeah.
And there's no better dopamine hit than logging on the, I believe it's fanfiction.net.
Seeing
a couple of comments being like, you know your way around Chandler Bing. I'd be like, yeah, I kind of am him. Could I be any more him, actually?
Do you remember the premise of the fanfiction? I can't believe Friends is what you went for. Yeah. It's like Seinfeld
Friends
or Simpsons.
Back in the day, there was one, there was like Joey left the apartment so dirty that he wanted to get a maid, but Monica volunteered, but she made him so furious because she like took it to like too clean a level.
I can see that being an actual episode.
Not a bad plot line. Yeah. And there was one that was I can't remember that. I sometimes I would try and advance the plot, which is always a bad idea. I'd be like, all right, now let's get these two characters together, and it doesn't work. But yeah, so the Joey one was good.
Wait, how old were you?
I would have been like 17. Thanks, Nick.
Just had to know.
Drew's writing to me. He's like, Joey gets mail. Joey is sleepless in Seattle.
I did that. I had a Buffy the Vampire Slayer script that was on fanfiction.net for a while. There, you can.
I love how you
me.
Say it's on there for a while, like it got published. You just uploaded it. And
yeah, but there were comments saying
it was good. Do they curate? Do they just put anything on there?
No, yeah, you can put anything on there. So like a lot of it, like you put up your friend's script that you've worked tirelessly on, put it in the form, and then like a bunch of it's like, oh, well, what if Joey fucked Chandler? And then there's like 50 of them, and you're like, well, these are pretty good too.
Yeah. I'm listening to that one. Yeah.
There was a Seinfeld one I remember reading, not writing, and I was like, damn, this guy's got it. He could go over there where the premise was the word disgruntled, but you can't be gruntled. You're always disgruntled. Mm. And I was like, this guy knows how to write.
That's a Seinfeld bit.
This man a job.
But there's a classic 9/11 Seinfeld spec script that is genuinely so funny and so accurate. Have you read that?
I've heard about it. I haven't read
it. I learned a few things from my friend's era, and then I moved on.
Oh, man. So, right. What sort of high school were you in, Nick, in the Redlands?
I went to high school in Thornlands. Mm. Does anyone know what that is.
That's like nearby.
It's like near Victoria Point, kind of.
Yeah, okay.
Between Cleveland and Vicky Point. But I went to primary school in Birkdale.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Victoria, I did, because we had Bridget Sard on from Victoria Point, and and so I did find this article. This is cracking me up. I don't know, local louts, but basically there's a woman whose house back is a alleyway that's near her house, and she's got CCTV cameras there, and a shocking moment, neighborhood louts are caught on camera mooning grandma. And so this grandma has been going out there and telling all these young kids to stop walking through the alleyway at night, and they get sick of her, so they all walk past and moon her camera every single night.
Wait, is this in Birkdale?
This is in Victoria Point.
Oh.
And so, look, there's these kids that just moon her camera every night. This is the best part, though. Redland City Council have blocked the grandma from complaining. She complains too much. So they're like, she just sends them an
the
email.
The council go down and moon her as well.
Yeah, like, I'm on the nice shirt.
Because that was the council, I think that was the Redland City Council was, and we did this on Timmy Hewitt's ep, I think, was the Karen Williams, the drunk driver. Drink driving mayor. So the council's a little bit shambolic.
And there's Andrew Lamming as well.
We covered Lamming. He's an absolute grobber.
I do have a bit of an update on Lamming because this recently happened. So we went through, Lamming had all that nonsense about... he had
showing up to like teen parties, getting drunk.
That was my friend's Australia Day party like 10 years ago or something.
Wow.
Yeah. What's that? And I think they, I don't know. I think he was on something and he was like doing a headstand.
He was doing cake
stands. Yeah. But and my friend was on the news and she was like, yeah, it was really weird. She's like, he just came and started doing stuff.
That's so weird for him to come and then to do a headstand.
I mean, insane.
Imagine him just like bombing a dairy, being like, so how do you know the birthday girl? It's like, this is an Australia Day party.
And they're like, why are you here?
Who do you know at this party? Yeah. Imagine getting asked that when you're 45 or whatever.
I know. And you have children at home.
It's not like he's a counselor and a dropkick, but he's also a medical doctor. He's like an educated dude.
He's a space cadet.
Like, how do you find out? You're a 40-year-old politician. Are you, like, on Facebook events being like, there's 40 people attending this. I got to go. Or is he just driving around and then being like...
I kind of want to play Andrew Lamming in his biopic.
Nice. Because there should be one
because there's so many questions, you know what I mean?
He's a very fucking confusing guy. But this has literally happened, like, this week is, the culmination of all this. But so he had all that scandal about him, and a lot of it was... like harassing people, making fake pages online, trolling people, just like embarrassing stuff. But then one of the like final things was in 2019, a woman complained that he had taken a photo of her while she was bending over.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that.
So basically a woman, he's doing some sort of community thing at a business or whatever. A woman is bending over and he takes a photo and some other guy's like, did you just take a photo of her? And then he like saw it on his camera and the woman got really upset, one of the cops. And basically Lamming came out and said, first of all, that he's erratic behavior. This was sort of the straw that broke camel's back in a way. But his erratic behavior, he'd recently been diagnosed with ADHD. So that's why he's been a bit crazy. Let him off the hook, of course. But that's what he came out and said. And so everyone, and also he said he's going to stand out in the next election. So I think what happened was everyone thought this was a really crook story.
Mm.
And so all these reports started reporting that he had taken an upskirting photo of this woman. And what happened was the woman went to the cops. The cops looked at it and said, basically, he wasn't taking an upskirting photo of her. She bent over and her like undies came out the top of her pants, and he took a photo of her. Like, that's pretty funny. Like, you're just bullying her. You know what I mean? All these journalists sort of reported that because they just got the wrong end of the stick because he said he was going to resign and all this stuff, and they thought he'd taken an upskirting of her.
Mm.
And he basically sued them all, every single one of them, nine, like all these journalists. And when the photo came out, got released, all these journalists were like, oh, fuck. Like, this is just a woman. Like, he's not upskirting. He's just being a bully, right? Yeah. So he told Sky News, this was his defense, was a photo was taken from a distance showing the worker in a dignified position on both knees, but with far more, like, so she was trying to stock a fridge with beers or something, and he was saying the goal was to show a challenging work situation. And because you could see a sliver of Rundy's at the top, he's clearly about like a child.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one could ever say that it was like a sexual thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically the journalists are like, oh, fuck. This is almost an indictment of Australian journalism. A reporter won the Walkley Award for journalism for this story. About him taking an upskirting video.
Come on.
Yes, 100%. And the Clarion Award, which is like the journalism award in Queensland. So it's someone else, or maybe the same people, I'm not sure, but they wanted that award. So
for being like this guy took a photo of a chick.
Some sort of thing about it. I think it was a video award, so there was some sort of like, I don't know. I don't know how it could possibly.
Wow. Just awesome editing.
Real good.
Star wipe.
You know, the current affair, like he walking in grey, it's like, this man, you know? And so basically Channel 9, when they saw the photo after all of this, and like, fuck me, he's going to get us for defamation here real bad. Because some of the writing was pretty, you know, sharp. You know, what they were saying about him, it was all sick and he was a twisted ghoul, whatever. So 9 settled for $1 million.
Wow.
Channel 9 and Lisa Wilkinson, who tweeted about it, had to force to apologise. And the Walkley Awards got stripped recently. So the Clarion Awards and the Walkley Awards recently. Oh, Walkley Award last year and the Clarion Award this week or whatever was stripped of those winners. So it was like pretty big win for Lammy. And but he fucking didn't let it off lightly. He's posted about this so much. Like every when the award got stripped and when he won the thing, he would post like 12 times in a 4-day period. He just post. And he's all this ridiculous like commentary was like, there I stand, no one left to defeat, no trash to disprove, truth abandoned, hurt so many. And every
isn't that like an Eminem lyric?
Exactly. Or some sort of war poetry or something, you know what I mean? Some sort of general from World War II. And then he was basically posted about all his times, walk away from your greatest victories most quietly. Not a shred of Nine's accusations were true. They abandoned their truth defense. So high times, the awards were also stripped. And then he just posts constantly about it. He went live on Facebook. He was like showing like a live video of him watching some news report. And then he posted the director of Nine News and tagged him, his personal Facebook page, like, Darren Wick, we need to talk. He's like thanking Rebel News Australia, you know, that those guys.
That's
he's like, thank you, Rebel
News. I don't know what that is.
Avi Yemen.
Avi, yeah.
It's like the biggest, he's like QAnon adjacent, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. They there's him and this, there's another dude who, I can't think of his name, but they show up to every, like during lockdown, they'd show up to every anti-vax protest.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that Avi Yemeni or whatever his name is, everybody like just trolls the fuck out of him because he's a piece of shit. And he's like he was arrested for like throwing a chopping board at his wife.
Oh my God.
For domestic violence. And so, but he loves to be like the moral, I'm better. Like, you're all hypocrites. Mm. And then everyone just like posts memes about him fucking throwing a chopping board at his
wife. So Lamming's saying like, thank you for your coverage of this Rebel News Australia.
Embarrassing.
And then, you know, the Channel 9, like, so that was last week. And then literally a couple of days ago, Channel 9 won their defamation case for war crimes against Ben Roberts.
Yeah.
And so he posted, Channel 9 media goes 1-1. So they won that one, but they lost against me. They're like, it's a very different accusation, war crime accusation. It was upskirting. But the best part, he's like just hammering it. And then he posted something about the journalist who wrote it. And he's like, you know, you've done all this stuff. And then Julie Lamming, I don't know who, you know, support, I assume it's his fucking auntie or something. Andrew, you should post this back on her personal Facebook page so her family can understand the effects. And he just writes, I've moved on. After like 4 weeks of fucking commenting every single day about this.
Wow.
He's just a nut. He's just a, that's he crazy. Finally got a win. Mm. And he's fucking just riding
it. I mean, like, you know, the Walkley Award gone for that crazy anyway, but like, the defamation thing and then him winning. So, yeah, it's not a sexual harassment thing. He's still bullying that poor
woman. Yeah.
Publicized, like, and got a photo of her ass.
It was one of, like, 30 things he did. And it's not like the one-off thing he did.
You can't hide behind that and be like, this is the ass of the workers. Yeah. Who I support, I'm pro-union.
He took a secret photo of a woman
bent
over and then, like, put it in his pocket and didn't show her. Didn't say, look at this photo of you. And then she said, delete it. Like, it's like,
Lammy's got massive energy of like guy on Facebook who posts like loyalty's everything, no time for snakes.
Yeah.
Fucking energy.
A lion doesn't lose sleep over the opinion of shit.
He really got bullied in high school or something. And he's been like slightly successful at some point in his life. And he's like, everyone must know about. That's why any 45-year-old guy goes to a teenage party, like, is they've got trauma of being bullied at a teenage. Yeah. They're trying to make up.
He's trying to relive the glory years.
Or something like that. So, was there that sort of area, I guess, Redlands, is there a lot of, like, teen parties and stuff like that, or was it?
I mean, I wasn't cool enough to go to them in high school.
Maybe in a couple of
But 10, I heard about them.
15 years or so, Nick.
Yeah, maybe. I could do a headstand. I used to eavesdrop, and there were definitely parties going on.
I'm
just being like religion class. Like, they have fun.
Someone locked Nick in his locker, and he's just like, put a cup against it to listen to the horn.
But no, yeah, I think because, yeah, it's pretty far from the city. Mm. Even like when we graduated, like the, I don't know if Bridget or Tim talked about the Pit. It's like a nightclub in Alexandra Hills.
Tim did.
I've never been to it because, like, yeah, I didn't really start going out till I was like in my 20s, I think. Mm. But people like died at the Pit. People got stabbed on the dance floor. So I don't think I really missed out. But but that's where people would go because, and there was another place called the Elysium, which was in Victoria Point, and that was like you usually go to the Elysium and then kick ons at the Pit, or you just go to someone's house. But yeah, because. And it's hard to get around in the Redlands unless you have a car. Yeah.
I feel, yeah, that's like classic Australian suburbia. Yeah. You have to have a car.
And it's like, and if you go to the city, it's like an $80 to $100 cab home.
That's why every fucking mayor gets done drink driving.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know.
Because of course, how tempting would it be? Yeah. I'm like, I'm the mayor, actually. Yeah, I've had like, seven red wines.
My city.
It's also like a good platform to be like, well, we've got to improve the infrastructure of public transport to stop me from driving into the school at 60 kilometers an hour.
Do we want this to happen again?
Exactly. We need a bullet train.
A bullet train from the Redlands to Brisbane City.
It takes 3.5 minutes. It's the first testing point.
I was going to say swimmer. What was I going to say? Just, yeah, I don't know. I feel like parties, yeah, there'd be a lot of parties. I think like 18s, everyone had their 18s in the Redlands at like one of the few establishments or at their house. And then 21st, people start to venture into like venues in the city. Because I think when you're in the Redlands, it's very easy to just stay in the Redlands because it's kind of like there's enough to do there. But then once you get a bit older, you're like, then it gets so inconvenient like commuting from the Redlands to the city every day. So
huge pain.
The Redlands is great, but it's like, at a point, you're just like, I can't live here anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was going to uni in the city every day and like, yeah.
As soon as someone gets stabbed at the Pit, you're like,
I was like, that's the final straw.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one stabbing away from moving to the CBD.
Unless they lower the drink price.
Check out what's happening in the valley.
I've been in a house party conversation with Andrew Lamming for 45 minutes.
Get me to the city.
he's talking about Rick and Morty.
All right. Yeah. So this is your friend and she has an Australia party and Andrew Lamming rocks up. I can't get past this.
Well, yeah, I think he just used to go door to door to just be like, hi, I'm Andrew Lamming. And people would be like, cool. And
party going on? He gets lucky.
And then I don't know what really happened. I don't know if someone gave him something. People think he was like on something, like he took.
Oh, it would have been on MDMA.
I don't know if he took it or if someone put it in something and gave it to him. I don't know. Wasn't there, wasn't invited, which is fine. And then, yeah, then he just like took over the party and then, yeah, that's all I remember. And my friend was on the news and she was literally like, yeah, it was pretty fucking weird. Like no one was like kind of impressed. They were just confused.
No one
was like, fuck yeah. They were like, okay. Like,
there's an old man here.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I can say who it is, but my brother once, like I can say him, but he once was like, in Melbourne at Crown Casino and him and his mates ran into a famous Australian swimmer who was a controversial streak at the time and ended up partying with him all night. He was like, come up to my apartment I've got and just did like, just, and this guy was like, lose, like had lost his mind, just partying with these. He would have been 38 and my brother would have been like 25 or something. Whoa. And he just spent all night and like for 3 days they partied with this guy.
I just really want to know who it is.
Yeah, I'll tell you later. But I just don't think I'm not going to say it.
It's not the name.
Michael Clem.
Or Peter.
Yeah, it's almost exactly who you would think it was. I just can't remember if that became like it was like news or not. I don't think it was, but he didn't even really do anything wrong. But it was just sad. And my brother was like, it was like so cool. Like, celebrity, we're partying, we're drinking. He was like, stay at the thing. And then we were like, all right, we're going to go. And he's like, no, stay. And we're like, okay, this is sad now. It's really
like that. There's nothing more pathetic than if say, you recognize a celebrity and say, hey, and then they want to hang out with you more than you want to say hi to them.
They're like, don't leave.
And we would know. Because anytime someone says, hey, community notice board, we stay with them for 4 hours and ruin their night. Who wants another tray of Jaeger bombs?
I did that literally 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
I was at the factory and some guy's like, oh, do you do community notice board? And I was like, yeah, man. And then proceeded to hang out with his group and ruin his night.
2 hours.
Oh my god.
It wants another round on me, bro.
Just cut again and be like, everyone, go around the circle clockwise. Favorite F.
That guy's on the phone's like, one of the community, I don't care to say who it was, but one of the community, and everyone's like, it was Drew, clearly. We don't have to guess who ruined your hang. Oh, fuck. I got a very silly story because I don't know if it, you said it was a bit of rough areas, and I guess this probably would be rough area, but of Birkdale, Nazi paraphernalia found in Birkdale house raid. So there must be some pretty dodgy areas, right?
Yeah.
So Nazi paraphernalia, rebels, motorcycle club supporter gear, and a cache of weapons were found Spoonbill Street, Birkdale.
I think I know. Oh wait, Spoonbill. Okay. I was like, I think I know the exact house.
Man, if you've got two Nazi memorabilia houses, oh, the other one.
Oh, the Spoonbill one.
I forgot about that. They opened up. It's like a franchise.
There's this other house. So my friend from primary school used to live in this. Yeah, he used to live in Birkdale. And there was a house a few doors down. And it was so scary. Like, just cars in the front yard with no tires. And, like, they had all their windows, like, you couldn't see in all these trees. And he was like, yeah, there was a shootout there last week with the cops. Jesus, I'm like, what? Like, yeah, that was, I used to hate. He's like, oh, we'll just walk to the shops from my house. I'm like, no. But okay, Spoonbill Street. So that's another one.
And
they're multiplying.
Yeah. So this guy, and so like there was a photo, like basically what cops had seen a guy posing in front of. Oh, Nazi shit. Memorabilia, like a big Nazi flag.
Yep. Wow.
And on some video that they tracked him down and they raided his house. Because it's always when there's smoke, there's fire. Do you know what I mean? If the guy has a Nazi flag, he's probably got some other shit there. You know what I mean? He's not like a computer programmer who's like, oh, you know, just
he
like
just meet the guy who's just getting started collecting Nazi memorabilia.
He's like, I'll start with that.
So I'm on eBay every day.
His wife's like, you're really into this. So two of the people were charged. Stephanie Tonkin, Kane Nicolosi, and they appeared in Brisbane Magistrate Court. String of weapons and explosive charges. Mr. Nicolosi said he had a simple reason for posing with Nazi paraphernalia. I'm a racist, he says.
Oh, my God.
I was close.
Yeah.
I'm a racist.
Wow. At least, like, I mean.
And this is a photo of him outside the court with a very faded but clear fucking American History X style Nazi swastika on his chest.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if that's faded through laser or just through bat.
Your finger's covering it, by the way.
Oh, sorry there.
Oh, my gosh.
That is faded. That's almost looks like permanent marker.
It's a proper, like, that is, he watched American History X and was like, I want that.
So I think he's, like, to me, he's not getting that lasered, but also going on TV with his shirt off going, I'm a racist. You know what I mean? Like, wow, I feel like it must just.
Wait, can I see that picture again?
I kind of. You've got to have a bit of respect for someone who's not going to try to mealy mouth their way out of it. Wow. He's just like, no, I am a racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
right.
Like, what do you think? Yeah. Why do you think I had that?
And he went on to say some other crook stuff I'm not going to repeat. So he went on to clarify. So there's no doubt he wasn't like misquoted or anything. But he also said the cops and everyone had blown it all out of proportion.
Of course.
because of his memorabilia. But yeah, so they found some like homemade guns and shit.
Homemade guns?
Yeah, some real weird old guns and stuff. So
I didn't know you can make guns.
Yeah, I know, it's a little craft industry, you know.
It's just a Birkdale thing.
Yeah, yeah, you buy them on Etsy. Like, yeah. I got a review from the KFC in Birkdale.
There's a KFC in Birkdale
there
now?
There is a KFC in Birkdale.
Whoa. I think they were building it last time I was there. Okay. That's exciting. There's McDonald's now too.
Yeah, well, man, it's coming up.
Not in my day.
None of those places were there when you...
Nah, there was only a Subway and... Yeah, you had to go 10 minutes for the closest McDonald's.
Subway's all right.
Yeah, but not when you're a kid.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a sandwich. It's
and
like
month yeah, and that only came when I was like 16 or something. Yeah, so right. I was going hungry for most of my childhood.
Surely would have been then like the local chicken shop or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
There was, I mean, no, there's plenty, but like, yeah, there was no McDonald's. And now there's a McDonald's like a minute drive from where I used to live. I'm like, for fuck's sake, I was born in the wrong generation. Yeah.
But you're driving home and mum's like, well, again, Subway for dinner. You're not excited in the car.
Yeah, because you have to work for that. You have to get out.
I know.
To, all right, I've had a big day, but I need to figure out what salads I want.
Yeah, yeah. Sit there and point at them. Yeah, this is unbelievable.
That's fucked.
This is like a labor camp.
What, I might just strap on some gloves and work.
Who's the artist here?
Well, this is a one-star review from KFC Birkdale. And this is from a year ago, which, for context, will come up later.
Oh.
So, one star. I would rate 0 stars if possible. I've never met a ruder and more disgusting team of people, in inverted commas.
That's pretty rude as well.
We waited 2 hours for our order. 3 phone calls later, only to be told it can't be delivered. We ended up coming in to pick up. The pizza had been sitting there the whole time.
Sorry. Slow down.
Uh-oh.
Gonna stop you there.
Are we about to win a Walkley?
Sorry, it's Domino's.
I
thought it was KFC. It is Domino's.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know.
For context. There's no, KFC are not doing pizzas, Birkdale or otherwise. This is Domino's. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
The pizza had been sitting there the whole time. The female manager gave attitude to my frustrated husband and ended up shooing him out of the store. When he got home, the order was wrong and parts missing. I called back and the manager refused to speak to me and said my husband was rude, and despite the order being so late and wrong... because my husband was rude, we wouldn't be getting our order corrected. They refused to tell me the manager's name, and she was too gutless to even talk to me on the phone. Absolutely disgusted is an understatement. We were also told the store made an extra $5,000 tonight. So basically, our order didn't matter. So unprofessional.
Who told the manager said that?
Oh, flex. And by the way,
we're rolling it in.
Just to let you know.
And so that was a year ago at the Domino's in Birkdale. Response from the owner. Hi, Alex. That following night was really out of staff's control due to excessive flooding.
What?
So, do you remember a year
flooding
ago?
Flooding in cash.
A year ago, there was severe flooding in Queensland. So this fucking psycho is being like, you're not going to deliver my order? And like, we can't send out a staff member in a fucking canoe to deliver your pizza.
Yeah, everyone's stressed, you know.
And I, like, I looked... did some research on the flood because I was like, surely not. So, yeah, 1 year ago, 2022, there was an article and it was like, so 3 Redlands families were evacuated, thousands of homes lost power, 18,500 sandbags were collected at Council's Cleveland Depot during the Queensland flood crisis. And so this is all about like all the, you know, state emergency getting calls, the SES units. The greatest volume of calls were in Thornside, Birkdale, so some minimum wage fucking... Domino's cunt doesn't want to risk their life. And this woman is going fucking psycho.
Yeah, read the room.
And also, like, so the response from the owner as well goes on to be like, we understand your frustration and it's warranted. However, there's no need for 2 adults to verbally abuse our staff over pizza. So, like, they absolutely went nuts on these probably 15-year-old kids.
Oh, my God. That's so ridiculous. That's
crazy. And also, the best part as well is, so this is like a huge thing. Don't abuse us. This is not a way to respond to this. We get it. We're sorry, blah, blah, blah. And also, so she's making a big song and dance about how the order was wrong. And then, so a huge paragraph, and then one sentence afterwards goes, And by the way, the order wasn't correct. You just forgot to grab a drink.
Oh, any review that starts with "would rate zero if I could," you know they're in because it's just like you're just.
Have you ever left a negative?
Never.
Really?
I don't think on Google. I'm trying to think of it. Some.
I left a positive one because the other day I was at one of the burger places in Kings Cross, like Betty's Burgers or something.
They probably recognized Drew from the pod.
No, the lady who was working there was like, oh, by the way, if you leave a 5-star review, you can have a free ice cream.
And I'm
sure that's against the terms of Google.
Wait, that's such a good idea.
That's actually bribing.
I'm going to start doing that.
Have you ever done it, Nick?
Yeah, I did my first ever negative review last week.
Oh, ooh, nice.
I've probably done like 10 positive ones. If I just go somewhere where they're really nice, I'm like, they were nice. But yeah, I went to a dermatologist for the first time and she was just like the most awful. It was just a terrible experience. And I was like, oh, well, maybe they're just like that. And then I looked it up and she had so many bad reviews. And
like just rude to you?
Like rude. She was an hour late and then she was like rude. And I was like, oh, I also want to talk about this. She's like, nah, your referral wasn't for that. And then she just kept making the like snarky comments. And I was like,
snarky
and it's so expensive. And then, and it was funny because like so many people like had the same experience. And then she would reply to their reviews and be like, this is slander, remove this. And then, so I did one as well. And then she's like, and then she replied as well. And she wasn't as aggressive towards me. But yeah, I was just like, I'm going to do a negative review for the first time because I just feel like I need to.
Nice.
And it felt good.
I bet it would.
It was like an adrenaline rush. I was like,
anyone who writes back aggressively as well, there's two types of Google people. There's that. And someone got... I'm trying to remember where it was, but like some dentist or whatever got a negative review, was anonymous, 1-star, and like sued and like demanded Google like release who it was and IP addresses and all this shit.
Because it can really like affect your business.
Really
famous one. I think it's called like Amy's Bakery in the States. That one's like on great. TV. They just got destroyed. I think it was by Gordon Ramsay.
It's Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
And then got destroyed by negative reviews, but they went back to every single one. They were like, fuck you. I'll kill you.
That's actually one of the best hours of TV if you ever get around to watching it. So you can tell Gordon's, they're like, we can't, like, this is just a bit of a meme episode, right? Because there's this the bakery and they just abuse everyone who has a problem, but there's all these problems at the restaurant. And then the owner is a woman, she's a bit crazy, and then the husband's like a mafia guy.
Oh,
and he keeps staunching up to customers. Wow. The customer's like, I've been waiting 3 hours for my pizza. He's like, hey, you want to do this? And he starts like slapping him and getting his face and stuff. And Gordon's like, the camera's all rolling.
Oh, wow.
It's fucking
watch that.
It's so good.
I do love a review as well that like the person hasn't even been to the store. Like it's unrelated to, they would give it 1-star because it looks fucking weird or there's no like the vibe, but they've never been there. This was another one for that Domino's that made me laugh. So this is 1-star from Sean. Thought it was common knowledge not to use your mobile phone at a fuel station. Young female staff was filling Domino's car while scrolling her phone. Young girl at your store needs to be told of the dangers of using mobile phone while refueling.
Oh my God.
Like, get alive.
That has also got to be one of those fucking old wives' tales about phones when phones were like,
it doesn't do anything.
With like fission nuclear material, like in the back of the day, like stupid weird batteries and stuff. Like now it doesn't, like same with airplanes, on plane.
It doesn't do shit.
Also, like imagine having the attention span to see that and be like, when I get home, I'm going to write a review about what I just saw.
He was probably texting while he was driving.
Yeah,
he was like, the dangers of fucking fueling up.
Oh, that's, wait, I was going to ask, in your research, did you come across the goat lady?
Oh,
no. I was going to ask about
she was mentioned in a Reddit thread I saw, but I couldn't find anything
She's
more.
She's so mysterious.
So I couldn't find anything more apart from like a big tapestry with a big pink goat, right? Like, was it? There was something about a big pink goat somewhere.
I don't know about that.
So what makes her a goat lady?
So I'll tell you everything I know because it's not much, but there's like on the main road, I think it's called Birkdale Road, there's like this tiny little shack on the side of the road. So small, like smaller than this room probably.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to always be like, oh, that's where the goat lady lives. And I'm like, what? Like the tiny, it looked like an outhouse kind of. And then sometimes you would drive past and you'd see her just like with a stick, so old, like walking through like a field. And then I'd be like, well, I'm guessing that's the goat lady. And then my dad was like, oh yeah, my friend knows her. And then But he never knew enough. I'm like, well, I'd have all these follow-up questions. He's like, no, she's just the goat lady. I'm like, that's not enough information. Like, what does she do? What do the goats have to do with it? Why does she live in that? Like, anyway, I had so many questions. And then a few years ago, a guy I went to high school with who's lived in Birkdale his whole life, he like shared a petition on Facebook being like, save the goat lady. And I was like, what? And I read it and it's like, they want to like buy her land and build a development, and she owns all this land but has the tiniest little shack. She would have to be dead because, like, wait, how old am I now? 30. So it would have been like 25 years ago. I used to see her like walking like this. She would have to, unless she's like immortal. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe she drinks the goat's blood or something.
Were there goats on the land? Or she?
I think she would be like walking through the field with them. But also, I was a kid, so I'd like probably see it. Then like my imagination would be like, oh, she was riding a goat or something.
Yeah,
like,
she was probably 42 years old.
She probably like had a job in the city.
She has the head of a goat.
She's like a centaur. Goat one.
I did. I don't know, because we talked about this on Tim's app, but I thought I'd bring it up. Do you know Plugger Man? The guy who would walk into the city every day.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. In like overalls.
Yeah. He was just a weird guy.
I'd see him sometimes.
Yeah, it was like, and every Redlands meme page, it's like every third meme is just Plugger Man.
I didn't know that was his name.
Well, that's what some people call him. But he had thongs on, and he had blue overalls, and he would walk from somewhere in the Redlands, whatever that main road, the road is to the city, and he'd walk it like
on Old Cleveland Road.
Every single day.
Yeah.
What a king.
In thongs.
Also, why?
Yeah.
Was it like a daily errand?
I think in the city? As with all like old, like local town, like mythical characters, there's like four or five different flavors of the same story, which is his wife and kids were killed and he's trying to repent.
Oh, God.
You know, there's all that. It's not true. It's also just he's probably a bit of a loony bin, you know what I mean? But there was something about he just likes it for the exercise, like that. It was four or five different, but always the craziest ones are the ones that like have a bit of...
You kind of want them to be
there. Yeah.
You can't really make a mythos by being like, well, he just loves his 10,000 steps.
And why, but why?
He's doing Step-tember.
Yeah.
We should write fan fiction about him.
Yeah.
I know a website.
And then there's Courtney versus Cops. Do you know this guy?
Oh, what's that?
I don't have much details of it, but there's this guy who's on... he's like someone Courtney, and he has a website, Courtney versus Cops, and he has signs on the middle of the road. Fuck, well, I should have written it down. But where there's like all these homemaker center right on the corner there, and he just has signs like cops are this, cops are that, and it's just all crazy. He's a bit of a lunatic.
Because obviously
cops are never done
this. Yeah, I remember him.
It's never going to be cops are top.
But he was just a local guy. I was going through all the old memes, and so every third one is Plugger Man or Courtney versus Cops. As just, local crazy guy.
I feel like the goat lady's kind of like an underground
figure. Yeah.
Only true Redlands fans know her work.
Redland memes page, mainstream. You know, I like the alternative crazy.
Well, I mean, if anyone's got any hog goss about the goat lady.
Yeah, I need to know more. Yeah. I think the goat lady was hooking up with the guy that walked to the city.
That's Jamie's fanfish.
There we go.
They were seen out on the town together.
Yeah. Jamie inserted a couple of Chandler-esque lines. Which I'm right.
Every fanfiction, Jamie. Every story Jamie writes, Chandler's involved somehow.
The goats were like, can I be any more of a goat?
I found like a little wholesome fellow. His name is Walter Graves. And basically, he went viral on social media because someone wrote a post about him. So this woman wrote a post about a guy that she bought flowers from on the side of the road. She thought it would get like 30, 40 likes. It ended up getting about 3,000. But this, because like basically she tried to buy flowers from this bloke, didn't have the cash. The guy was like, no worries, take the flowers and come back later. Goes viral for some reason. But this guy, he's 84 years old. And basically what he does is like he lives in this house and then 2 days a week fucking pops on a sombrero, sits outside his house and sells flowers. Mm-hmm. And people love him. And so like they'll like applaud him while they drive past, buy flowers. And of course there's a local newspaper article on it. And so he just loves Queensland people, sells flowers. And so there's like stuff in the article where he's like, when I pop on the sombrero, people know there's flowers about to be sold.
What a strange sentence.
Also, I feel like the big display of flowers might indicate there's flowers.
Nope, it's that.
he's been doing it for 3 years now. So, like, people kind of know, like, when you go past here, like, some days the street will be empty. Some days there'll be a guy with a sombrero out front. And
is
like,
this in Birkdale?
Well, yeah, it is. Now they can buy flowers.
It like, sounds like a lockdown sort of, you know, hobby.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it started in that.
So he's 84
He's 84 years old.
So he started when he was 81 years old.
Oh, wow. It's never too late. I wonder how the Birkdale flower farm feels about that.
Just stealing all the flowers from
them. Yeah, might want to ask them first.
Birkdale flower farm reports another robbery from man in sombrero.
He's like, the hat did it.
I love how that's your choice and you get to be 80 in like a sun-cooked part of Australia. It's like, am I becoming plugger man or
which route should I go down?
Which path do I go down?
If I want to become like a legend, like
to
be talked about on a podcast,
there's
which crazy route should I go down?
There's certainly worse ways to end up.
Yeah,
imagine being a local loony and you don't get a reference. You know what I mean?
I know.
You're like, you're wearing a clown wig and walking around in bowling shoes,
and everyone's like, "That's not interesting."
Yeah, someone's like, "What about that guy?" And I was like, "Nah, don't." Can we delete this post?
That's the thing. Do you want to be? Do you want to be like all out there on the table, like? You know, someone, they're like, that's his thing. Or do you want to be enigmatic? Because who knows? Goat Lady might eventually get a 10-part podcast about the origins of Goat Lady.
Oh, you still need some mystery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't run your own page.
You want that happy medium. You want a little bit of intrigue.
But it could be like, oh, man, I play guitar on the side of the road. And people are like, well, what's your deal? And you're like, just kind of said it. Whereas, like, there's Goat Lady. She's not doing PR. She's cultivating the mystery.
Yeah.
That's right.
She's, like, probably running meme pages saying who is
She'll probably
Goat
be
Lady.
Huge, like, 50 years from now.
Yeah.
When she's long gone.
Yeah. When she's 65 years old.
Everyone's got, like, Goat Lady tattoos and shit.
Yeah. We're like, we get it now.
It's just ahead of her time. What was your first job in Birkdale?
Oh, so my first job was at Leonard's, the chicken shop.
Okay.
You know that? Do they have that down here? Leonard's?
I do.
I feel like I've heard Leonard's.
It's like a franchise. Yeah, chicken right. shop. And like, it was at Capalabar, which is the next suburb. And I lasted like a week because the guy was so awful. He was so scary. And he would just like, on my first shift, he made me cook samples. And I was like, how long do I cook them for? And he just like didn't answer me. And I burnt them once. And he like yelled at me in front of all the customers.
Oh my God.
I was like 15. Oh, I hated it. And then like, when we're like cleaning up, I'd be doing stuff. Then I'd be like waiting to be told what to do. And he'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I literally don't know. Like, tell me. So then I quit. And then, yeah, my best friend and I started working there on the same day. I lasted like a week. She lasted like 2 weeks. And then this guy on my first shift, he's like, no one ever lasts more than a month here. I'm like, why are you bragging about that? That's awful. But he's in jail now apparently. Cause like a girl I went to high school with, she worked at a different Leonard's and she's like, yeah, he wasn't paying tax. And
of course not.
He went to jail.
Wow.
So that was my first job.
Leonard's been long.
And I hated it. And then I worked at Woolworths in Manly, which is like near Wynnum.
Yep.
Yeah. And I worked there for like a long time.
It's, man, like when your first job, I know exactly what you mean because I had so many jobs where you just get to that point where you're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then you like kind of stand there and you just
it's
wait
like
for some
first
instruction.
Shift, and every time I'd be like, hey, what should I do? He'd be like, oh.
Isn't that everything around here?
I'm like, are jobs really this bad? And then it scared me because I was like, I don't want to get another job if jobs are going to be like this. This is fucked.
That's it. My sister got a job at Macca's. She was like 6 years older than me. And so I was like 10 or whatever. She was 16 and then she'd come home just crying.
Oh.
Like, they're so mean. They yell. And I'm sitting there like she's like thinking Macca's is like a prison camp. You know what I mean? I'm never fucking working.
Yeah.
Because she would just like, abuse you. They yell
it's
at
true
you.
Though because like there's people just, it's like a power trip. Yeah. And they're like the first time in their life, they're like, I can tell these kids what to do. And like, it's like, that's just so sad.
It's weird.
It's so bad. Hey.
And it just, I love how they just assume you're supposed to know what the temp, like what to do.
You're 14 years old. You know how to perfectly cook chicken.
Yeah. What's the combination of the safe? Oh, you don't know.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
But yeah, because it was like, I had to fry the filling of the spring rolls. So I was like, how long? And he just like threw this like little pamphlet down. It said, bake spring rolls for 20 minutes. I'm like, that doesn't help. I'm frying the filling of them.
What?
And I was like, thank you. And then, yeah, it was just, oh.
Wait, you fry the filling and then what, stuff it back into the
No, table? No, it was just like samples. So like, I think we just did little, how did we serve it? Oh yeah, like little cardboard containers with like the filling of the spring rolls for customers.
Yeah, fuck,
that was awful. I hated
samples
that.
Samples of spring rolls.
I've been in like office jobs where you get there and then they're like, all right, well, you don't have access to anything. Like your set hasn't been set up. So just, I don't know, go on your phone for the day. You know what I mean? And you're just sitting there for like 2 days like,
Is that the worst when you start an office job and you feel like you're not doing enough, but everyone's like, just who
cares?
That's
right. You have that trauma of what you're describing.
Yeah, exactly.
But everyone's like, hey, you can be here for 7 years and no one cares.
I know.
There's a great period in every office job where you realize 65% of the time is just being on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I can finally let go of the stress.
Oh, yeah. I when I started 2 jobs ago, it was that and they were really unco, but like my desk was just the perfect desk where I could see everyone. It wasn't like an office, but it was just positioned. No one could see my screen. And I could see everyone who was coming towards me.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, I'm just on, I'm not fucking on porn sites or anything. I'm like, no one can see me jerk off. But like anything else I wanted to do.
I think they might notice.
Yeah, exactly.
Jerking off your desk.
Like, and I'm just thinking I'm real suave, clicking away.
Wow.
Yeah, you're like, no one can see me. And it's like, yeah, they can hear you.
Like, Alex buys a lot of handlers.
Boston security guards coming over. I'm like, time for alt tap. Here we go. But it was just so good. And I was like, for like 2 weeks, I was like in dreamland because I'm like, I don't have to fucking do anything. No one's really figured out what I need to do yet. And then they're like, we're going to shuffle up the dirt, like the whole floor.
Yeah, that happened at my last job.
And, like, and I was in like literally in a fucking fishbowl in the middle of the whole place. And I'm like, fuck.
At my last job, I used to like, because I just would want to make everyone laugh all day. And I just send like so many shit memes on like Teams and I just like get everyone's attention and just do dumb shit. And then, and I had the best seat because I could see everything as well. And then they moved me between like a column and then like this woman who was like a workaholic, and behind me were all the directors. I was like, fuck. And then I just started working from home every day. I was like, but they can still see my screen because it's like remote work where you're like your screen is still active at work. What? And then I quit.
What? So you're a home
also, host. I didn't realize your screen is still active.
Jamie's
coming.
I need to make some calls.
So you're remoting in, but whatever you're looking at is still up on a random screen in the office. That is nuts. That's
but terrifying. I just felt trapped and I couldn't have any fun anymore. So yeah, I just, and I was like facing a wall, column serious lady who was always just like, she stayed late every night and worked through her lunch break and would just be like, she was nice, but I was always just like, I'm just, all we talk about is work and I just didn't care.
With a guy like that. He ruled, I loved him, but like he used to stay, we did the exact same job and he would stay every day till 6:37 and he would just be looking at this spreadsheet of the billables. And I would be like, hey, man, like I did that like 2 hours ago. Did I make a mistake or something? Like, you can tell me. And he was like, no, I'm just looking at it. And I was like,
he's like, I like to do it.
And I was like, well, why? And he was like, well, the bosses notice like who comes like earliest and who leaves latest. And I was like, have we got a pay rise here, man? And he was like, no, never. And I was like, how long you been here? And he's like, 7 years. So I was like, go home.
Any minute now.
He had a 1-year-old daughter too. Oh, and God. I was like, please.
I used to work with a guy who had 4 monitors.
What?
And he did nothing. Like, he had 1, 2, like normal double one. And then he had 1 vertical like on the side. And then he had a 4th one up here. And he did nothing. I swear to God, he would do nothing. And everyone would laugh at him so because he would just have all these monitors and other people didn't have enough monitors. Some people like had to put in a request for monitors and he's like landing planes. He's like flight coordinator. It was such a weird
thing. I like Nick's thing about the memes because once upon a time Drew bragged to me. He's like, yeah, it's like during the week you just kind of like stockpile memes and then you send them all on Friday and those laugh reacts on Teams, they go off.
I got some pretty good laugh reacts last Friday with the meme.
There's a lady in my work who sends once a month. She sends an email out called, or maybe it's weekly, but it's just called Fun Day Monday. And it's just an email and it's like forwards from grandma style memes. But they are fucking brilliant. They're so good. Like the cream. And I first saw that, I'm like, oh my God, roll my eyes in the back of my head. And now every day I'm like, Fun Day Monday, here we go. So excited.
In Woolworths, what'd you do? Were you front of house or were you?
Yeah, I was on checkouts.
Oh, nice.
Checkout you.
It's a bit of a brutal job, I reckon.
It started out kind of brutal. But then when you're there long enough and then they like you, you become a supervisor, you can just kind of go in and do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I got called fat by a Coles checkout guy the other day.
Really?
Yeah,
what the hell?
Like, there's like a really... I don't want to blow up his spot because he's a very nice guy.
Doesn't
like
sound it.
But he's just one of those guys who says whatever is fucking on his mind. And like, he's always yakking. He's usually the earliest person in the store. So like even before the self-serve checkout's open, he loves a fucking chat and was like talking to me and was telling me about like his weight loss tips about how he eats like 2 teaspoons of peanut butter a day because that like
what?
Like it gets in your mouth and it takes a while to die. He was like, I swear by a brother, like I've lost like,
well, that's all he eats in a day.
No, like he eat, like that's his like,
it's after, like glues his mouth shut.
It's his after dinner snack essentially. Oh, where a little he's, like, treat. So you'll eat and like then afterwards you'll want to like have a slice of cake or you'll want to have chocolate, but like 2 teaspoons of peanut butter, like it's slow to digest and then like you won't be hungry for 12 hours. And he swore by it. He said he'd lost 30 kilos and then he's like, and you're a bit like me, a bulky brother. I like started pulling my shirt out like this.
No. Well, he's got 15 jars of fucking peanut butter lined up on the conveyor.
Yeah, I'm eating them with my hand.
Yeah. Like 2 teaspoons.
When I like, because I worked at the Cooper Woolworths after Manly for a while, and then I got an office job right near it. And then after work, I'd always come in and get stuff from Woolies. And there was this guy who used to like stack the shelves. And I gained a bit of weight because I started sitting down all day every day. Sue me. And he was like, whoa, you've obviously been sitting down every day. Look at your stomach. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I mean, you're right. But like, just don't say that, please.
Yes. So weird.
It must just be I don't know.
That's wild.
Might have been the same guy.
It's a union thing.
Bulky brother. Yeah. I love that. Bulky brother.
Just insane to
I think he was, he like looked at me and his friend was like, your t-shirt. It's tight, which is like my one thing where I'm constantly like pulling out t-shirts. I was like, oh my God, you've got me in the one area I'm most sensitive about. Yeah. And then, but like he thought he was being so helpful.
Yeah. And this is like, just a checkout guy calls.
Yeah, but he wasn't trying to be mean. Like he like would like come out of the interaction and be like, that guy's going to eat 2 teaspoons of the peanut butter. He's going to look like a god.
Yeah, he's probably like, I saved that man's life.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he also like,
I know, but still.
He pulls Jamie's pants down. He's like, look at that little dinky dinky. Yeah. Yeah. Small, I used to have a small dick like you.
He's got to attach a weight to it, brother.
Yeah. Oh, fuck hell.
Shall we ask the final two questions?
Yeah,
yeah, let's do it.
Nick, if someone says to you, mate, I am coming down to Birkdale for one entire day. I need an itinerary. I need something to do morning, afternoon, and night. Where do you tell them to go? What do you tell them to do?
Oh, wow. And it can only be in Birkdale. We can't go over the borders.
Go through the red lines.
Because Wellington Point is the next suburb, and like it's really nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's been there, but it's like it's just basically this road, and then it's water all along it and like every side. And there's like the point at the bottom, and you can see the city from it and like – yeah, it's really nice. So spend the day there.
It's like a peninsula type
thing. Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's really nice. And then, I could walk there from my house when the house I grew up in. It was like an hour to get to the point, but it was nice.
You and Plugger Man just walking.
Yes. I was training to be him. I'd walk down there with my goats as well. I wouldn't know. I'd go there for sure. Where could you go for dinner in Birkdale? I mean, I haven't been there in so long, but we used to.
Not Leonard's.
Fuck no.
There was something that I saw online about some real British fish and chip shop or something. And like it was famous, like a British guy came out here and he was like, fish and chips are shit. So he went and ordered all the British fryers, like the actual machinery from the UK and the oil and like everything.
Yeah,
and
I don't think I've been famous there, but I remember it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of British people in Birkdale, I think.
Mm.
There's a comedian actually, I think she's British and she lives like in Birkdale.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's her name?
Anne Howe.
Oh.
I was like, do I say it?
Yeah. Oh, I know Anne Howe.
Yeah, I think everyone
you
does.
Want some very, you want some spicy memes. Catch out on Anne Howe's post.
Yes, so I think her and I are from the same area, which... Mm-hmm.
That's so funny because like that could have been anyone and... Before you said that, that was the person who popped into my
mind. Yeah.
I have no idea why.
I was like, fuck, I hope it's
I was like, I don't know if I want to say it because I don't have much follow-up. Anyway. And then what else could you do in Birkdale? Honestly, I used to just hang out at my house a lot, so you could do that.
Go to the pit, get stabbed.
Get stabbed. Wait, what else? In the Redlands, I mean, like when I lived there, it was just a lot of driving around and like going to Macca's and like, and then going to Wellington Point.
Great.
And then going to the Victoria Point movies. That was more of like a teenager thing.
Yeah.
Because we had the biggest screen in the Southern Hemisphere at the time. apparently, some say.
Yeah, they could just claim that as well. There's no like authority.
Yeah, no one's going all the way to Victoria Point to measure.
Tape measure.
I feel like there's like at least five Australian towns that claim like the biggest shopping mall in the Southern Hemisphere. Well,
it's kind of, it's a running thing in this pod. We love a biggest in the Southern Hemisphere thing, I know. No matter what it is.
Yeah, it's so true.
Mm.
That's what I'd probably say. I mean,
throw a house party, invite Andrew Lambing.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, he'd be down. He has nothing on.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to the next question.
Yeah, so the next question is, Nick, you've ascended to the highest heights of your comedy career. You've got everything you've ever wanted with all your millions. Would you settle down in Birkdale?
No. But
Redlands as a whole, though.
I don't think so.
No.
You've moved on.
Holiday house on the water.
I don't know. It's just like
drive through, spit on the sidewalk, like or something.
I mean, maybe like
big family.
I definitely
goats.
Like it. Maybe I don't know. I go back there. I still have some friends that live there, so if I'm back in Brizzy, I'll go out there. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I end up having like kids and stuff. Yeah. But it's, I definitely have never imagined it.
Yeah.
I'm never like, me settling down in the Redlands. It's not.
They've got a KFC now. Come on, you know.
Oh, wait, yeah, true.
Changes the game.
Have you guys been to the Redlands?
I've never been, no. My mum and my sister both live in Nudgee, which is like just north part of Brisbane.
Yeah.
So I'm in Brisbane quite a bit, but never actually been down to that sort of southeast. Part of it.
It was a nice place to grow up for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. I really liked where I grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love awesome. That.
Yeah. That's a pretty good answer to the question.
Yeah.
Really. So last thing, Nick, is do you have anything you want to plug?
Ooh. When does this come out?
Probably in like three or four weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm doing two shows in Brisbane June 29th at Good Chat.
Maybe before then.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, check that out. Doing some shows in Brizzy. And then that's all my live shows for the year, I think. And then.
You're on Instagram and
I'm on Instagram, NickWhite49, and
I absolutely love your videos, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I'm a big the school pickup series. I think I've watched 400 times.
Oh, the cheeky moms!
It's so funny, dude. Oh,
thank you.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, take it as a compliment, but also we get messages at like 12, being like, "I'm watching YouTube episodes of the pod right now."
From Drew. Drew was like, "I was watching another pod last night." Yeah. Like, which pod? And he's like, "Our pod." I'm like,
oh wait, just the whole thing is like the whole pod's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. There we go. They waved to Drew in 4 weeks' time.
Hi, Drew.
Cool. And TikTok, I'm Miss Nikki Wanty is my TikTok username, or just Nick White.
Beautiful. Awesome.
And yeah.
Follow Nick.
Great.
What do we got to plug, James?
Well, as always, you can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We have a YouTube channel where the video gets put up where Drew can watch it everywhere. So please subscribe to that. Or on social media, we love hearing all your stories and the hot tips you give us. You can also follow the link in our Instagram bio to buy our shirts. Ooh. It is cold now. It is hoodie season.
Get yourself
in a community notice board hoodie, baby.
You're going to look great.
Apart from that, Nick, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We will see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. See ya.